So welcome. This is Dr. Joan Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International. And excuse me, today is March the 28th, 2013. And so we'll be talking about how to get high-paying clients. Excuse me. And so, yeah, we've got a new person on the call, Bruce. Gilly's, and we've got Eve, and other people are joining us. Do you want to introduce yourself, Bruce?
Certainly, yeah. Bruce Gillies from California Lutheran University. I teach in the School of Management, and I work extensively with the athletic teams here as far as developing team values, identifying and helping out individual athletes as well. I've worked with several of the coaches to help overcome some challenges as far as team and individuals. I've worked with other colleges and universities as well. I've worked with some professional athletes. I guess we might be calling – they haven't quite gotten to the professional level yet, but they still like to be called professional. They are the ladies tackle football teams. I've worked with a few of those, and I just generally enjoy working with athletes. My my passion lies in helping team captains become better team leaders. That's where if I had to be pressed to just do one job, that's what I would like to do. So.
Yeah, fantastic. Why were you interested in the certification program here?
Well, I'm working with the athletes already, and I need to get a little bit better as far as my own self-development and everything, too. So I figured that the certification program here, coming from somebody who's reached the elite status and understands the mental pieces of the entire athletic picture, I think is important to improve my own capabilities and skills as well.
Right. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, Eve, do you want to introduce yourself to Bruce?
Yep. Okay, Bruce. It's great to read that you're a professor in leadership and management. So I study, in fact, economics, finance, and I'm working in the banking sector in Luxembourg. Also involved in international projects. So I traveled extensively in Africa, in some region in Asia, and in Europe. I'm also a trainer in finance in central banks around Europe and North Africa, and also I've been in Asia and Philippines to give training in different topics, risk management, control project, hedge fund strategies, these type of topics. I'm also coach, ICF coach, International Coach Federation, and I'm coaching business people. And I thought that the certification here, it's really adapted to my personality, because I wanted to be more than a coach, but a motivator. Mm-hmm. That's one of my skills I want to develop, based on the comment of the people when I'm giving presentation or training. And so I think that this certification was the right choice to progress.
Certainly. Okay, makes sense. Good. How long have you been working with Joanne?
In February I started.
Oh, it's February? Okay, good.
Mid February.
Okay.
Yeah, that's great. And you were talking about your interest in cycling, too, in Luxembourg.
Yep.
You have Andy Schleck and all the top athletes there. Or he's having difficulty. He stated in the news, right? He said that he was having a and, well, Andy Schleck and his brother Frank Schleck were both on the podium. It's the 1 year with the Tour de France, right?
Mm-hmm.
Second and third. And now Andy was having problems, and he said it was clearly not physical but mental. So that's exciting that coming from your country, that someone's saying that publicly, right? That there's
it's also very good for the in Europe and for the development of the mental coaching for athletes, because it's less developed as in the U.S. So, this message to the market is very important, I think, and it's a start here. So it's very good, and we have to keep the momentum.
Yeah, yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah,
absolutely.
So, yeah, so today we wanted to talk about, well, the main purpose for these calls, too, is to answer your questions and to, you know, and then also to provide you with training. So if you have any particular questions on how to, the topic today on how to get clients, or also just in general on coaching or business or marketing, feel free to ask those. You can,
okay.
If you have a, you know, any particular question on your mind right now, you guys can ask. You know, feel free to ask me.
Certainly. Well, I guess the biggest question I have is do you have a step-by-step process that you put in place? In other words, you know, do these things: write articles for a newspaper, become a member of some journals or professional associations or something along those lines, in order to let people know that this is what you do. I mean, having come from your background as an elite athlete, people know that you were a very good athlete, but how do you let them know that you also, in addition to being an athlete, want to help other people achieve what they can achieve?
Yeah, that's a great question, Bruce. And I think that one of the top things that I do, well, first of all, I'll go through some different processes that I that are most helpful. One is, I think, speaking. Public speaking of any
right.
sort is a really great way to get clients, and you can do that. Start out by doing free, you know, speaking for free, and then you can work up to paid speaking as well. So that is one of the top ways to get clients. But let's say, you know, for instance, a running, you know, I've spoken for, you know, running groups. If you go on to online anywhere, in like San Francisco Bay Area, I think there's over 1,000 running clubs.
Okay.
It's amazing. Probably more than that. You know, just huge amounts. And each running club has, between 200 and 500 people in it. I mean, imagine how many runners that is. So if I just, there's like, in most places with running, you know, just that one sport, there's same thing with cycling clubs and, you know, other sports.
Yeah, good idea.
What's that?
I said that's a great idea. I know that I have several of my students that are members of cycling clubs, so I may ask them if I could come and just speak to them as far as the mental skills and different approaches.
Right, and if you go on, well, anyone you know that start with those groups, the your warm contacts are the best place to start. And if you just give one talk for one group, the word spreads really quickly, and you'll get lots of invitations to talk. If you have a website, you can, you can just put on there, interested in speaking, and you'll get lots of invitations that way. Because groups like that, like running clubs, they're always interested in, they have maybe a program once a month, and they're always looking for speakers.
Mm-hmm.
And usually they're talking about the physical part of training, and very rarely do they talk about the mental part. That's a real need for most groups. So they'll love to have you speak. And ahead of time, you want to, I always try to have, find out what the agenda is, and if I can speak to, try to make it at a time when I can be kind of the one speaker of the evening. If they're going to have like lots of speakers or
right.
lots of different events going on, it's, you can, it's okay. But it's you can be more effective if you're the one, a speaker in the meeting. And then I'll have afterwards say I'd like to have my talk be the last event of the evening. You know, if you,
okay.
I'd say if you're doing any business or announcements or other things for the club, go ahead and do those first and have my talk be the last item on the agenda. That way, if I could talk for, say, at least a half an hour, that really it makes a good impact. So the more you talk, the longer you speak, the more connection you can make with people, I think. And if you are selling products at the back of a room, like your articles or CDs or a book, then the more people will buy from you if you're
right.
if you connect with them for a longer time. Yeah, so I'll by the way, is the volume okay? Can you hear me all right?
It's just a little bit staticky and a little bit low. But I mean, I've got my volume turned all the way up, and it's okay.
Yeah, okay. For me too. I can hear Bruce very well. You a bit less.
Oh, it's a little bit soft?
Yes.
Okay, let me just change over here to my other headset. Hang on just a second. There, how about that? Can you hear me better now?
Oh, yeah, a little bit better.
Yep.
Okay, great. So, yeah, I should have asked that right at the beginning. So it's good to remind me to do a sound check. Yeah, there's a kind of a funny sound, buzzing sound, huh? I'm not sure where that's coming from. Let me turn this off here. Try to get all the other gadgets out of the way.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
That are, yeah, there we go. I think that's better. The Bluetooth stuff and the headset stuff. So, yeah, with speaking, that's a whole, yeah, I could give many hours of talking on that. That's a whole step-by-step process just for speaking, and I think that because it's so powerful, it's good to, for us to focus on that. But you, for instance, with you know, when I give a talk for a group, I'll say, yeah, can I speak at the end? Mm-hmm. And then I have a 15-minute period afterward, right after the talk, where there's no other event going on, where I could you know, connect with people and have a resource table in the back, and that way often people will, if you have a book or one really great way to have a product there so that people get to know, even if they don't want to sign up for your coaching right then, they'll get to know you, is to you know, practice your speech ahead of time or the talk that you want to give, and you know, it's good to practice it standing up. And, you know, just as though, even if you don't have an audience, just imagine that you're speaking for a group right there and give the talk. And so, you know, if you're doing that, you know, like say a few days before, you know, why not record it and then turn it into a product since
oh,
you're
good
giving
idea.
The talk anyway, and people will want a copy of the recording afterward. So, yeah, you can just give a, you know, you could just attach a headset to your computer, and then there's several ways to record it. There's a program called Audacity that I talk about in our
right.
program here. It's free. You can download it. And then you just give your presentation, practice it. You can, that way you can be reading it, reading your notes right there, so it's real smooth. And, yeah, record it, and then you can make turn it into a CD right there. You could just... you know, the low-tech way is just, you know, make a CD on your computer, and then you can just duplicate them or, yeah, make a few CDs and then offer them in the back of the room. Yeah, did someone else just join us?
Hi, it's TJ.
Oh, hi, TJ, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. Sorry, I'm a couple minutes late.
Oh, that's all right.
But here I am. I'm here.
Oh, good. Yeah, TJ's from... Oregon, from Portland, Oregon, right?
Oh, very good. Hi, TJ.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Yeah, this is, we've got, yeah, TJ's a massage therapist up there and certified performing edge coach, and yeah, it's great. Great to have you on the line. And Bruce is new here. He's from Thousand Oaks area, yeah, L.A. area in you know, California.
Oh. Right.
Hi, Bruce.
Hi.
Yeah, and then we've got Eve calling in from Belgium.
Hello.
Wow, hi.
Yes, we've got people from all over the world here.
Hey.
And that's great. And so, yeah, you know, we were just talking about different ways to market yourself and get the word out there that you're doing coaching and talking about speaking. Yeah, and TJ, are you doing any speaking yourself? Or it'd be good if you shared, you know, how you're doing marketing and that kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, I haven't done any public speaking around this coaching, though I would really love to. Yeah, I'm actually going to I'm speaking at a career day at a middle school in a couple of weeks, and so I'm actually going to try and talk to some of the teachers or the administrators about whether I might be able to do a talk, you know, talk about performing edge coaching in either in addition to or at a different time as I'm talking about being a massage therapist for their career day. So mm-hmm. I feel like it would be a good in. And junior high kids are really fun, and that would be kind of fun to work with. So I'll see, yeah, I'll see what they say. But I'll go in with a sort of a proposal for a talk, and like we've talked about before on these calls, and see what happens. So
yeah.
That's next month. Yeah, I'm excited.
That's great. And you can, yeah, with any group like that, you can, well, you can propose to give your talk for free and then just have a chance to sell products in the back of the room or talk about your coaching during the talk. Or sometimes they'll have a budget. You know, often you think that, sports groups or schools, you know, we short sell ourselves, I think, and think, oh, they'll just only want a free speaker. But often I'll say, do you have a budget for speaking? And they'll say, oh, yeah, we used to pay them $1,000 or $500 or whatever.
Really?
For a talk.
That much?
Yeah, I've been paid that.
School? Wow.
Yeah. So I would say it's good. You know, if you start with free, then you can't go up to paid.
Right, don't start with free.
You can't raise your price, but you can always lower your price, right? So better to ask if you have a budget or ask what do you typically pay your speakers, you know, and they might say, oh yeah, we typically pay this amount for speaking, and, you know, we could pay you that. And oftentimes they have a, if they really want you, they'll find a way in the budget to pay you. Like this one group, women, it was a business group, it was called AWIS, the American, I forget what it stands for, but it was Women in Science, and they wanted me to speak, and they heard me speak somewhere else, and so they were really impressed, so they, I said, yeah, it's $1,000, and they said, well, yeah, I don't think we have that, but we can look into our budget. Let me contact our, you know, the president and all. And they have, often they'll have a training, if you ask for a training budget or an educational budget, like to buy educational materials, that kind of thing, they'll have different kinds of budgets for things, not just for speakers, but they have a variety of things. And they said, okay. And then I had my book, so I said, yeah, I'll include, you know, it's be like 75 people there. I said I'd include 75 books with that because I, you know, when you print books, if you print them in a larger quantity, they don't cost very much to print. So normally I'd sell those there, but I said if I include my books, they thought, oh, wow, that would be great. So you get the speaker and the books for $1,000 kind of thing, and they really jumped at that opportunity. So, yeah, and if you don't have books, you could create a CD, like I was mentioning. Yeah, TJ, as you were just coming on, if you could practice your talk ahead of time, just and record it as you're. Why not, you know, make a recording out of it as you're talking, and then you can offer that as a product there, or it's a simple way too is say you can afterward you can offer your talk as a free download. If you don't want to deal with the CDs and the physical product kind of thing, just you know, put it on your website, or if you don't have a website, you could just make it into an MP3 that's small enough to email, or you could put it on their website kind of thing on a kind of a private page for the group that came and say, oh, this is normally, you know, say, you know, $29.95 or something, or you know, $40 for this this download of my talk, but for your group, you know, I'll offer it for included in the price, you know, that you pay me for my speaking, if it's $500 or $1,000 kind of thing. So that's a really great way to, I think a lot of times people value your talk more if they, if you have a price for it. Whereas if it's free, if it's free, they think, well, yeah, she can, we can get her anytime because she's free.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting that you mentioned that, Joanne. When I was a civilian working for the Navy, we offered a program called Transition Assistance Program for people who were in the Navy that were getting out of the Navy, and it was free. However, they would continue to go other places and pay $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 because they perceived that the value of it was more, even though they were getting less information at the ones that they paid for than the ones that we provided for free. So it is all in the perceived value of the product.
Yeah, that's right. And if you have, for instance, the certification, then I think that really helps to give you that extra credibility and ability to charge a higher fee kind of thing. So, yeah, you can have that as a, I think, and people value, if you can have some CDs in the back of the room for speaking, when people come to a live event, they like to have physical products, you know, that are there. And it doesn't have to be fancy packaging or anything. It could be just, you know, you just go to an electronic store, go to Fry's or Staples and get those little CD holders or a plastic thing to put them in. You can just, make it really simple and then sell those in the back of the room. Often people will pay $29 or so for a CD easily.
That's interesting. So you basically, you make the CD or a DVD from your home computer, and then you just put it in a regular jewel case, and then you bring it to your speeches and say, if you want a copy of this.
Right, and people will get, they perceive it, and then you just have it in the back of the room there, and that's why to say to the group, it's really important to want to make sure my talk is at the last item on the agenda.
Right.
I was going to include that, TJ, because I know you were just coming on the call when we were talking about that, to say if you've got a running club, because, I mean, TJ, you're really connected to all the running groups, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can say, Eve, cycling groups, that kind of thing too. If you can say, I'll give my talk, if you do your business at the beginning, any kind of announcements or business stuff and other speakers, and then I'd like my talk to be the last thing, and then have a 15-minute period afterward when there's no other announcements or anything. And then you have that time, because there's that precious 15 minutes afterward when people are really excited about your talk and they want to take action,
mm-hmm.
So if you have something else, if they have something else going on right afterward, like a raffle or something, do the raffle ahead of time, because something like that totally, will distract them so that they're on to the next thing. But if you can have that precious 15 minutes afterward where they come to your table in the back of the room, then you can also offer a discount on three. I've found this really effective, a package deal for, say, three coaching sessions. $297 for three coaching sessions. It's normally $600, you place a higher value on it. That's the normal value, and then you say it's for this, for you here today only, it's $297 for three coaching sessions. And somehow, and the number seven, we were talking about before, seems to be a friendly number. There's been a lot of research on that, and if you just include the number seven in your pricing, people seem to respond better. It's a friendly number or something, or maybe people think it's a lucky number. So if you say $297 or $197 or one coaching session for $97 or whatever price you want to offer there, and it's for that day only, then you can you can create what's called a table rush. People coming back to your room, the end of the room there, and buying things. I had an example of that was up at Vancouver at the Olympics. I was asked to give a talk for a nutrition group up there, and I gave a talk and then talked about my CD set that I was offering, and I said I offer a free coaching session if they got the CD set.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had the leader, the group organizer there, the meeting planner, she said she would help promote it too. So then she talked about the benefit of the CD program or what I do and the coaching and all. If you can have someone else speak in your favor, and it's much better to have someone else promote you than just you promoting yourself.
Right.
And so she did that, and then right afterward, I said, these are, only available today, and I'm leaving today, to go back to the States and all. And there was about 110 people in the room, and I had just a wonderful table rush at the back of the room, and I sold $10,000 worth of stuff in 30 minutes. It was like a dream come true. Yeah, it was amazing. Oh, gosh. Yeah. So it's, you know, because there was a lot of energy in the room, and I think, you know, set it up correctly so that I was the one speaker, and there was that time right at the end. I made sure that I had that time that they didn't do anything else afterward. And then and I had that so many people coming to the back of the room that I had that, well, one person I assigned them to, I had an order sheet, and I'll put that on our website there too, as an example of the order sheet where you describe your product, and then you put down below a place for them to put their information and how you can get, how they can pay either by cash or check or credit card. And yeah, we'll talk more about that too, how you can have people pay by credit cards. And then, but there were so many people that wanted to come in the back of the room. It was like you have to figure out a way to organize people.
Right,
And so this one woman, luckily she was back there. She said, "Look, I'll take their sheets and put a number on it. You know, this person's number one, this person's number two." And she actually came up with a real quick system to be able to do that. If you have an assistant, that's better. Or something, but I mean, you don't have to bring an assistant, but you can just on the spot as you get there, just find someone that's willing to help and say, "Could you help me with this?" Or you can ask ahead of time if you have a volunteer in the group that's willing to, you know, to set the table in the back. That would be great. And then you're prepared. If you do have a table rush there, you can, you know, take people's orders, like they fill out their sheets and they put their number on it. And then she calls the numbers, okay, number one, number two, and they
right.
come up and just get their stuff. That way people are more committed. You know, they've already filled out their information and their order and what they want, so they're willing to, they'll stay there, versus if they don't have anything and they're just waiting in a line, then they see, oh, geez, this is going to take too long, I think I'll just go, and they might just walk out the door, and
right.
you've lost thousands of dollars worth of sales, right? So it's really important to, have somebody to kind of take people's papers and put them in a pile, and then be able to know that they're being, and then try to just get people through the line as quickly as you can. So that's really a great thing to do. I've learned by mistakes. Example of a mistake, where it didn't work, was I had a running group, and I said, "Yeah, I want to, can I please just speak at the end and have no other events right afterward?" And they said, "Okay," but then they didn't honor that. And when I finished the talk, they had the guy said, "Well," he took the microphone and said, "Well, we do have this little raffle we're doing," and so then he went right into this raffle. And then they had dessert, where these people brought 100 different desserts on the side, and they had.
Wow.
How do you compete with dessert?
Yeah, I know. True.
With a cake and all these luscious things, they're going for that. So now their mind is off on something totally different. And I didn't, I got some sales, but some interest, but people were kind of off somewhere else. So you want to try to get them to commit to giving you that time afterward, especially if you're giving a talk for free kind of thing. So so those are some tips on speaking. Have you, have you had experiences with speaking yourselves, you guys?
I've done, I think as I mentioned to you before, Joanne, I've done some leadership courses and done some speaking, but they weren't like speeches. They were more like training sessions. For organizations where
uh-huh.
we go in and we develop leadership skills, and it's more interactive than a speech. So there is that, and I suppose I could probably do the same type of a situation there with that, in addition to, like, you know, I don't know, pens or something like that that people would have. Do you use any kind of mental, a reminder, an icon of some kind, a symbol that you also use to help people remember to use specific mental skills that you might give out at your speeches?
Like an anchor or
a keychain, a keychain with something on it that they would see it all the time, or, you know, that says flow or something like that on there.
Yeah, that's a good idea, Bruce, and that is something that you could do if you want to. Get go online and get different products with your, if you have a website or something that or something that has word on it, that's good. I just I have my book, your Performing Edge book, and so people get that and they sort of remember things through
mm-hmm.
there. But you could also do a number of things. I teach them this anchoring technique, where
okay.
you think of a color, a shape, a word, or a physical gesture, something to remember your experience by, like a fist pump, or thinking of that time when you were successful and what did you do with your hands. So I'll have them do that anchor, whatever it is that they did at the time that they're successful, and then remember that. And I'll have them show me, I'll say, okay, on the count of three, I want you to shout out yes and show me your anchor, and I'll have everyone kind of create something, a physical
okay.
gesture, and then do that exercise with them during the talk. And then at the end, I'll have them show me their anchor again, and then they can use that. So the advantage of that is that you don't have to have a physical product or physical thing like a keychain, but you just they just use their hand to do a physical gesture of some sort, and then they've got their anchor right there.
Right.
But
right.
you could definitely use a product as well if you wanted. You could have some people do like a piece of paper or some small your you could hand out your business cards and have on the back side have a word or something that symbolizes, like you say, flow or imagine or some
okay.
word that kind of you want them to take home with them.
Okay.
Or you could hand out your business cards, have the blank side, have them write their own on the back, what their word is, their special power word or something that they can remember
okay.
by. So that's a good possibility too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, Eve, have you done speaking in?
Well, not in sport for business. Yes, of course. So that's why I wanted to ask you, what are the popular topics to start with? What is highly demanded by the group?
Yeah, that's a great question, Eve. And I think the most you could have a topic like you could it's good to have a good compelling title for your talk overall first. When you're giving a talk, they'll ask you, the meeting planner might ask, what's the title of your speech? And so if you can think of something that's kind of catchy, that's good, like, winning is a state of mind or your performing edge or optimal performance or three, often things that start with numbers are very attractive, like the top 10 tips for peak performance, or top 5 mistakes that athletes make. Mistakes are always good because people are it's just like driving by an accident. You've got to, people have to look.
Right.
See what? Oh my gosh, what happened there? And people, when they see the top 5 mistakes, they think they've got to know what those mistakes are and how to and what to do instead. So you come up with mistakes like, too much negative thinking and, thinking of only the final result, the final, getting the perfect race, the perfect outcome, as opposed to, thinking about the process. So, and then another mistake is getting too hyped up before races or games and not finding the right energy level.
Mm-hmm.
So you could think of all the mistakes that athletes make and then come up with those, come up with a list. And that gives you a good structure for your talk as well. So does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, of course, yeah. That's very good, yeah.
Yeah, or creating, the essential tools of the trades. The three, of course, I talk about the three P's of your performing edge, positive images, power words, present focus. You could use some of the topics in the book that you have. in my book there. Confidence is a really big topic, too. You know, people come with, you know, their lack of confidence and self-doubt. So you can talk about how to boost your confidence and your self-image. And then also focus is a really big one. You know, how to, especially these days with everybody's got five things that they're doing at once. That they're on. I mean, you don't seem to be walking down the street anymore, just walking. They're always on their cell phone, right, or texting.
That's exactly right, yeah.
Looking at something. They're totally distracted by something else, Facebook or Twitter or texting, YouTube. And so we've actually, you know, there's studies showing that we're losing our concentration ability and our ability to focus for long periods of time has really gone downhill because of all the distractions now, email and everything coming in all at once. So athletes need to be able to, you know, get that back, that sense of focus and being right here, right now, being in the present tense as opposed to always thinking about the future or five other things that are going on. So that's a big topic. And then, just believing, you know, that self-limiting belief, I think, is a really good topic, too. How to, you know, how we limit ourselves with that negative thinking and the inner critic. So how to believe in what you can do and giving yourself that those positive self-statements and positive self-talk. That's a huge topic. And if you can think about problems, people will pay you, you know, more for solving problems than they will for necessarily for going toward goals. I mean, both are really important. If you can sometimes phrase things in terms of the problem and then you offer the solution, then, it can be a lot more valuable. So, and then you can talk about the actual race or game, competitive experience. That's an area where people have huge problems. You know, that's one of the biggest sources of income that you can have as a coach is when your athlete will say, the parent of the athlete will say, my son or daughter, they can do it in the training, but they can't do it in the competition when it really counts, or they freak out, or they sabotage themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's a huge thing. Athletes feel like they can't come up with they usually have that as a kind of self-fulfilling prophecy. Well, I could do this in training, but when it comes to the race, I've had athletes that throw up before every race.
Yeah.
They're so nervous kind of thing. And lessons, you know, embracing the challenge, and then dealing with the pain is a good one too. Dealing with physical pain during races. I mean, the kind of pain that is the good pain that is, the pain of effort, the pain of working hard. Not, of course, you don't want to ignore pain. TJ, you know for sure, with being a massage therapist, you got to work on the pain that when you've got an injury or something. That's when we send people to TJ. TJ, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But then the other pain of, how to know when it's good pain and bad pain. That would be a really good topic for you, TJ, right?
Oh, that is, yeah.
Because you're dealing with, you understand it from both the physical point of view with massage and therapy and the mental part, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good idea.
Yeah, how to know when it's good pain and bad pain. And when you have the good pain that's not doing injury to your body, just the pain of effort out there, you know, how do you handle that kind of thing? Yeah. TJ, do you have some topics that seem to be, or that you'd like to talk about when you give speeches?
Actually, a lot of the stuff that you've talked about, the whole positive positive imagery and positive self-talk and replacing the negative tape, that's a really big thing with me. And so I feel like I can talk about that to people, you know, because I've been there. And that's something that I keep struggling with. And I think a lot of athletes do struggle with that. So that's really my point of interest is that, that those negative tapes that we all have and how easy it is to just make up a new one. you know.
Yeah.
A lot harder than making up a new positive tape. So I'd like to be able to help people, you know, to be able to come up with a new positive tape to replace that negative one. You know, because I see that even when people are overcoming an injury or something, they're like, oh, I'm never going to get better, you know. And I think it's just a very common thing to, and it's so easy for our brains to go there. So I think that, for me, that's probably one of the most important things, and that's what I'd want to talk about first.
Yeah, that's a huge one. Yeah, yeah, and that's, yeah, you could do a whole talk and book on that. I'm never going to get better.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm never going to get better syndrome. or never going to get faster, or, yeah, I'm never going to get thinner.
Yeah.
All those things kind of fall in that same pattern. So, yeah, and how to turn that around to, you know, just that simple exercise, like taking a piece of paper and putting a line down the center, a vertical line, and on the left-hand side put your negative thoughts and self-doubts, and on the right-hand side write the opposite of that. What do you want to be thinking, and what do you want to be telling yourself, and then be able to say those things out loud over and over again and make people, yeah, that's a really good way to, then you could make them a positive tape. And in fact, you could say that in a talk of you're talking and make an offer to not just coaching. I mean, if you say just kind of generic, I do coaching, people might not know what that is or might not know specifically what you do. But if you can give a specific technique of some sort and say, for instance, in a, you know, session with you, I'll have you write, you know, we'll identify what your negative thinking patterns are and what your self-limiting beliefs are and your self-doubts, and have write those like on a left-hand side of a page, and then on the right side I'll help you to be able to turn those around and say, what is it that you do want to be thinking? What's the opposite of that? How do you coach yourself? And then what you do is take the right side, that all of the positive things that they say, and you can turn those into strengths and say, okay, now I'm going to take all of these and we'll turn this, like, TJ, like just like you were saying, make that into a positive tape, and you can actually record that then, and just record only the positive side and say, I am getting better. Every day I'm taking a step forward. Or each day I'm getting closer to my goal. I am doing, you know, I am becoming a faster runner, whatever it is that you, you know, and say each one twice so that it really gets ingrained in their mind. You know, so, yeah, that would be great. So that's a really good topic, TJ, the positive tape.
Yeah. Actually, Joanne, I have another question about when you're giving talks. Do you do anything to kind of open it up to the audience, like have people say things out loud, like, you know, list positive words, or do you get the audience involved at all, or do you tend to just kind of talk and then do like a question and answer session afterwards?
Oh, that's a great question, TJ. Yeah, I think, yeah, it's really great to get the audience involved. In fact, the more the involvement you have, the more engagement you have with your audience, the more likely they are to want to work with you and do your coaching and buy your products. So if you can, there's lots of ways to get them involved. You can, you know, like ask, you know, with that exercise we were just talking about, you can say, okay, so negative thoughts. So give me an example of some of your negative thoughts, and just have people raise their hand, and they'll say what their negative thoughts are, you know, a few people, and then you can say, okay, now let's co, you know, so Mary here says, I'm never going to get better, and then what could she say instead of that, and then ask somebody else to kind of come up with a positive tape, because oftentimes it's much easier to come up with a positive thought for somebody else than it is yourself, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, especially women really like to kind of help each other, but, and guys too, not to, if you can think of then you got different parts of the audience kind of helping each other out, and sometimes they'll come up with really funny stuff, like when person said, okay, what's your negative thought? And then she said, I was doing this for a business group of managers, and the one woman said, my negative thought is I'm always late. I'm always late. And so I said, okay, well, so what could she say to herself instead? And somebody else said, well, she could say, well, I could have been later.
That's true. We're not showing up at all. Yeah,
yeah, it wasn't that late. Kind of got the whole group cracking up. So then you get, that's a great thing when you get people laughing. That's the ultimate kind of involvement, because when people laugh and they're having fun and they're having a good time, they'll tend to they love you and they want to work with you. So, and it also breaks that up. You know, you want to try to have scene changes when you're given a talk. You know, think of it like a Hollywood movie. Like the thing that makes the movies great is you have lots of scene changes. So the guy's over here at the beach, and then the next thing they're in the bedroom or back and forth. All this action is going on, and so it keeps your interest. So with a talk, you want to make it like, it's not as dramatic as a Hollywood movie, but try to make scene changes as well. So so you're talking yourself, that's one change, and then, or one scene, and then when you have people, then you change it to people asking them a question and people answering doing the exercise with you, then that's another kind of scene change. And when they're laughing, that's another scene change. And then you could go into a video or something, show a quick video of something. So that's another kind of mode, another scene change. And then you could have them do an exercise of some sort. So you can think of it like a story, give a point of some sort, a point, and then tell a story about that point. So that's another kind of scene change of, people absolutely love stories. So tell a story about that, like, I'm never going to get better. So you could do like the 10 negative thoughts, like TJ, for your topic or for any of you, you could say the top 10 negative thoughts or something, top 10 negative thought traps, and then give one like, I'm never going to get better, and then you tell a story about that, like one of your clients maybe did that, and then you can give tips about, here's what you can do, here's three things that you can do differently. And you could take ideas from the book, your Performing Edge book, or your own experience too, and give three tips, and then you could say, so that's another, so you've got your point at the beginning, and then your story about that, and then you want to reiterate the point afterward again and say, here's the point of my story, and then give, so here's three tips for ways that you can integrate this into your life. And then do an exercise with people and say, okay, now let's try this out. And, say, do the piece of paper with the left and right sides, negative and positive. And everybody could write that down. You could do a little exercise where people write it down on a piece of paper, their negative thoughts and then their positive thoughts. And then you can have sharing. You could either do, depending on how much time you have, you could have people break into pairs next to each other and say, share what your share the negative thoughts and have the other person come up with some positive thoughts for you, kind of be like your coach. And then so you got the pair, you write things down, and then they share with each other, they do the little pairing up, and then you say, now everyone come back together and we'll, let's share, each person report back with the groups or a few of the pairs, report back what you learned, or what did this person say. So that's a good way to get feedback from the group and all. And it also gives another scene change, another different way of learning. And it gives you a little bit of a break with your voice and everything from just talking the whole time. Sometimes it can get, your voice can get dry and you can get kind of burnt out or tired, and you need a little break from just talking yourself. So when the group is talking, it creates more interaction. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah, so that's great. That's a good question, TJ, with the audience involvement. And then ask them, just have a time to ask questions. You can have the questions at the end, just general questions people have, or you could say, okay, we're going to do 3 points and or 3 topics, like positive images, and then we'll do questions. You know, what questions do you have about that topic? And then go on to topic number 2. Talk about that, and then have a question just about that, and then number 3. So you've got 3 kind of question periods. And what I've found is that the people that ask the questions are the people that will pay for your coaching,
right,
or will buy your products. I mean, it's like almost a 1-to-1 ratio. So when I haven't had any interaction with a group, they don't connect with you as well, and they don't buy stuff. But I found as soon as when somebody raises their hand and asks you a question, it's like they're really interested in talking with you. You want to give that person lots of attention because they'll be think of them as here's my client, a future client is right here, because they and when they have that 1-to-1 interaction with you, that is so, really precious time. Even though it's in the group there, it's really good time. And then when you're answering that one person's question, everyone else is listening and they're kind of living through that person. They're thinking, wow, this person, she could really, or he could really help me too.
Mm-hmm.
With that same, or I had that same question, I had that same problem, but I was too embarrassed to ask.
Right.
So, fear is a really good topic too, I was thinking. Fear and anxiety, that's a huge topic to discuss in groups. Eve, you're asking about different topics that are popular. The fear of looking stupid, fear of not finishing the race or the game, fear of messing up, all of that, you know.
Regarding the negative thoughts and to move to positive thoughts. In order to be very effective, this exercise, can we not link, for example, here's a negative thought, then we ask, change that in positive affirmation. But then is it sufficient, or, for example, we can link that, asking him, so what emotion you feel with the positive thought? So you link the thoughts to the emotion, which will create a feeling, and then you can push the person to the action.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I think that's very true, that thoughts are linked to emotions and linked to actions. Yeah, that's perfect. So if you can say, if you get to, and sometimes it works either way, a positive thought leads to a good emotion, leads to a good action, or sometimes it works the other way. If you can change your emotion, then it changes your thoughts, and then it changes your action too. Yeah, sort of cognitive therapy kind of comes from that kind of field. But I think that's perfect, Eve. If you can change your thoughts, you can change your feeling, and you can change how you respond.
But you change the reality, huh? You change the vision, your vision of the reality. Then you create a new reality. Then more opportunities are created, and then you are liberated. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You can. Write about that. I think you're a really good writer too. So it's they all go together, I think, and sometimes it can work the third way with behavior. If you could change your action, like Nike says, just do it, right?
Right.
they bypass the thinking and the emotions altogether. If you don't feel like it, just do it anyway. And so then if you just do it, you change your action, or just get up and work out, whatever it is, then you start feeling better and you start thinking the right way. So I think rather than, it's not necessarily just one linear motion. It doesn't have to be thought, feeling, action. It can be any combination of those.
Yeah.
The action first, and because a lot of times when people are depressed or it feels stuck somewhere, just trying to change your thoughts, it can seem like it's overwhelming and not possible. But if you those 3 words, just do it, that Nike came up with, is perfect. Just get out the door. Just move your butt.
Right, exactly.
change something, you know, it's amazing what you can do. So, yeah, it's very, very.
It's a bit like using the, I don't know, in English, the progression square. You know what's your potential, so then just do it, take action. Then with your action, what are the results? With the results will create new beliefs, and then this will create more a belief in your potential, and then it's a never-ended story.
End of story.
Yeah.
It's potential action, result, belief, and then you go back to potential with a higher potential, and then etc. Yep.
Yeah, you could draw a little diagram of that kind of thing too for a.
Yeah.
If you're giving a talk, you know, make a like in PowerPoint, make like little circles of the potential and your action and results and or your thoughts, feelings, behaviors, and kind of how it goes around in a circle.
Yep.
So that's a really good thing too. I was thinking that. I think speaking is one of the great ways to connect with people, and you can also then do a visual, like an exercise, a visualization exercise with people. Sometimes I'll do that toward the end of a talk, and great for giving people a good feeling, a way to practice what you've just done. So then they. Have a chance to, you could do a peak performance kind of visualization, imagining a time when you were at your absolute best, and,
mm-hmm.
and then get them through that. And you could record that if you want to there, and then people, usually afterward, they're like, wow, they have such a profound experience. And you can say, if you'd like, often people will ask you, wow, how can I get a recording of that visualization you just did? You can say, well, I just happen to have it right here that you maybe recorded ahead of time. And then you can just sell that in the back of the room as your as a visualization product, as a CD. And then people will connect with you, and they'll start listening to it and hearing your voice. And put your, of course, your phone number, your contact information on there on the CD, and so they can always contact you. They'll probably want you to. Then you can say, I make these type of CDs and these MP3s, individually for you for as part of coaching. And so you can oftentimes that, people will respond to that even more than just a coaching session, because they're not sure what that is or exactly or what they'll get out of it. But if you can say, often at the end, some of the best, the most sign-ups I've had for coaching has come from, at the end I'll give an offer and say, I'll make you a custom. Well, tell a story first. Tell a success story of someone I worked with, and say they were having problems, and then I made them a custom visualization, MP3 to address exactly what they needed to work on, and I asked them about their, time when they were successful, and went through their five senses, and then we recorded this visualization, MP3 for exactly, like, say, telling your story, exactly what she needed. Let's say it was somebody, a runner who was having difficulty, finishing races, and then we went through an exercise to help her to make a huge. She started to listen to the CD and put it on her iPod and listen to it every night before she went to bed, and then it started to make this huge difference where she had this, incredible confidence, and she was able to do really well in the marathon. And she played this MP3 every night before she went to bed and then before the race and all, and then and it was. Such a huge difference. And then what you say is, and I can do the same thing for you, making you this custom MP3, not just a generic one, but something for exactly what you need for your goals, for your exactly what your challenges are, and you can have that same kind of result. And most people are just all at that point they're sitting on the edge of their chair saying, "Well, how do I get this MP3?" Or this, and you can say, "I have a special price for you today for doing this, and I can." And then here's the form to fill out, and I'd love to talk with you more in the back of the room. Mm-hmm. And then you get this wonderful table rush right there. It's a really great way to tell a story first about what you did with someone, how you used a technique like the MP3, and then make an offer right at the end to be able to make this for them, custom, that kind of MP3. So, and it can be, oftentimes, it'll be someone in the room that's really interested, or it'll be that person in the room will be a parent, and they're thinking of their child. Mm-hmm. So it's like a whole other audience that you're speaking to that you don't even know about. It's amazing. They're thinking, like this women's group I spoke for, they were thinking in terms of their high school kid or someone else that could benefit. So you might mention that in your talk too, and say, if you want, I can also do this for you, or for your child, who may be a student or someone who's struggling to help them with their to perform better. So and it can be all kinds of things can come out of that. I had, after one talk, this one woman said, I really want to. Yeah, my daughter is having trouble with her basketball, but she really wants to be a great basketball player. And can we come down and see you? And I just happen to have a basketball a playground near me. Mm-hmm. And so we actually met out on the. She says, "Well, my daughter has trouble, sitting in the chair for very long." She was like, I don't know, 10 or 11 years old, maybe 10 or so. And so I said, "Can we go go walk over to the basketball court?" So we actually did the session with the mom and the child walking to the playground, the basketball court, and we talked as we were playing basketball. Pretty amazing. So, and we did the visualization over there outside. Mm-hmm. So you can be really creative and flexible with this kind of thing too. So we played, we got to play a game of round robin or whatever, basketball. So that's another example. Well, so,
That brings up a good point. So let's say that you're addressing a group of people that you don't have experience in that particular sport.
Uh-huh.
Obviously you should prepare yourself a little bit ahead of time, but as an example, if I were to talk to a cycling team, I don't have, I bicycle myself, but it's not the same kind of bicycling. I mean, I bicycle mountain bikes as opposed to road riding. And when you're grinding up a hill on a road bike, you got a lot further to go than typically you do grinding up a hill on a mountain bike. So is there a way to, I guess you could throw it out to them and ask them, well, what do you guys think about, right, as far as that goes? But do you do that with a large group as well or smaller groups?
Yeah, I would say that the best way to find out is just to ask them. Yeah, if someone has a question, I mean, if you have a whole group of cyclists, then what you want to do, if you're not as familiar with that sport, well, first you can find out, so much on YouTube these days and Google.
That's
of course.
True.
Yeah, just go to YouTube and put in cycling, mental. Mental training or something, or cycling mental problems, and see what comes up there, and you can find out more about what's going on. You can hear commentary and all kinds of videos, so you can learn that way. And then what I do is, if I was giving a talk for a group, and I want to learn more and not as familiar with that, I'll do a interview ahead of time. I'll say, well, can I interview a few of people in your group, just to kind of so that I can really customize my talk for your organization or for your cyclist, and then say you could interview the meeting planner themselves, probably a cyclist if they're the head of the cycling group, and then say maybe if there are two or three other people I could talk to ahead of time, just to find out what your biggest challenges are and
right.
What your goals are and what kind of problems they're facing, and then talk with them on the phone and just go through a questionnaire. Actually, I have a questionnaire here I need to put that up there. That's a good reminder to me. Here, I'm just writing this down so I can do this right afterwards. It's called a pre-program questionnaire.
Okay.
And it's a really great tool for being able to, I call it a PPQ, pre-program questionnaire, for, you know, different questions you can ask people, you know, like what are your biggest stresses, what are your top five, just instead of saying one, ask what are your top five stresses, what are your top three problems, and that kind of thing. And so ask them ahead of time, and that way, and you know, take extensive notes, kind of thing. That way, by the time you get to the talk, then you're an insider with them. You know, also ask them what kind of special language jargon do you use, so that you can kind of get in on their phrases and stuff. If they use a phrase that you're not aware of, you know, if you can be aware of it ahead of time. And say, the cycling, the whatever term they have, some special term, you know, that you know of, and you can use that, or kind of an inside joke.
If you use
an inside joke, is that they know, they're thinking, wow, how did he know about that?
Right.
then you're part of it. Then you're connected like glue.
Yeah, and I think that you make a great point there, is if you can engage with them and identify with them at some level, you know, tell them a story about yourself in that particular area or something like that, that would probably go. I struggle with that when, you know, the first day of class when I'm teaching one of my college classes, is to somehow identify with them so that I can figure out, you know, what's important to them.
Right, yeah. So that's great. So, well, great. Yeah, this is a really good discussion. And I'm so glad that I'll put that PPQ pre-program questionnaire in the members area right away, and also email it to you. So, and then in the talk itself, I was going to say you can, if there's something new that comes up you don't know about, the best thing to do is just ask that person, you know, cycling, oh, tell me more about that. And, you know, if they can describe it to you right there, the issue that they're working with. And then you can just respond to what they're saying. You just kind of learn on the spot. Fake it till you make it, like they say.
Right.
Then you'll get to know more and more about it. And so the next cycling group you give talk to, you'll be a lot more aware of the terms and everything, and just be more comfortable. So, just have fun with it, kind of thing. And if you don't know something, just act like it's no big deal, and just learn as much as you can right there.
Right. Okay.
So, okay. Well, great. Any other quick questions, or we'll? This is great for. So we talked about speaking, and I've got other ways to give getting clients as well. So we can do a part two on this next time too.
Sure. Quick question, Joanne, on your book.
Uh-huh.
Did you do self-publishing on that, or did you find somebody else to publish it for you?
I did, for that one I did self-published it.
Okay.
I actually had two offers for major publishing companies, but I looked into it, and at that time it just seemed like the problem with the book industry's really changed, you know, now to where you can make a lot more profit doing it yourself, and it's so much easier to do yourself that unless you have a huge publisher that can give you a big advance, $100,000 advance or more, that's really nice, but those are really rare these days. And book publishers, they don't do anything for you, really. They basically do all the work yourself, but then they publish it, and then they end up taking 90% of the profit. You think that they'll do marketing and get you on TV and radio and all that, but that's not happening anymore.
you have to do all that yourself.
Did you
also print that hard copy or just in the PDF format?
I have the hard copy. It's paperback, and so that's the one I'll be sending to you. Yeah, Yves, you got yours okay? Did you?
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I got the PDF one, but I didn't know exactly, because I've got about a 130-page book that I'm trying to get published on career counseling, and I can't seem to find a publisher for it, so I thought I would self-publish, but I can't figure out how to get it printed.
Okay. Well, yeah, maybe we can talk about that more next time, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Good.
That'd be good, because that's a whole topic in itself, book publishing and stuff. Yeah, and it's very simple to do. Yeah, the best way is Amazon, through Amazon Create Space. They do it right online.
Oh,
but
good.
You can also do several options. So, and I'll be your new, you know, Bruce to the program, and I'll be mailing out your book today to you here.
Okay, perfect.
For part of the program here is mine, so you can see how that's done, too.
Good.
So great. Okay. And we'll talk. So our next meeting will be the second week in April. So that is April 11th. So we'll put that on your calendars. Yeah, the second and fourth Thursdays, so the 11th and the 25th of April. So great. And I'll get this pre-programmed questionnaire up there real quick. And the recording should be up in the next day or two here for our talk here. So great. Thank you so much for joining us, everyone. And
well, it's been a pleasure meeting you guys. And
thank you very much.
And please, you know, for TJ and Eve, if you guys have any questions for me that I can help with, I'm an open book. I'd be happy to help out in any way that I can.
Yeah, but that's great. Where can I find your email address?
Joanne, did you want to share those? Do we have a list someplace on your website of participants or anything?
Yeah, I'll put that up there.
Okay. For the time being, though, my email address is bggillies@aol.com.
Yeah. Okay, and I'll put that up there on our website too.
I think the synergy from the more of us working together, I think, is going to be a lot more powerful too.
That's true. Correct. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks so much, everyone, for joining us.
All right.
We'll see you on April the 11th.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye. Bye. Thanks.
Okay. Bye now.